Good morning and welcome to Being the Change Now. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry, are you back on?
Ashwini?
Yes, there you are.
Oh my gosh, nothing to it. I got got knocked off, couldn't get back on. You know the drill.
Yes, I do. All right. Our assignment for the week is to count the breath and notice joy. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey. This has been a very interesting week. I saw a lot. And go ahead.
Bill, can you?
I'm sorry. We keep cutting in and out. I don't know if you can hear me.
Bill, I can hear you. Sherry, you're cutting in and out a little bit for me as well. Hang on, Bill. We might have lost Sherry again.
Okay.
Sherry? Okay, Bill, how about you go ahead? Let me try to bring Sherry back.
Okay. So you want me to just continue to...
Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. So this has been an interesting journey this week. I began this week with a belief that I'm not joyful, a belief in the sense of I'm not a joyful person, that joy always seems to elude me. And then to go through the practice of noticing joy, I had an experience where a plane was flying overhead, and I immediately noticed the joy in seeing that, but then ego immediately judged that joy. So throughout the week, what I began to see is that joy is always conditionalized. I have a moment of joy, and then ego karma conditioning then negates it, mm-hmm. negates it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as there is an awareness of joy, ego would strip it away. And then seeing that pattern, I saw that, well, goodness, joy is here, as what you've been teaching us. And so it's conditioning that's getting in the way of that joy. The other thing I'm seeing is
Hang on, Bill. Let me reflect that because it's so important. And just a moment, let me see if Sherry's back with us. Sherry, are you there?
I'm listening in. I just got here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bill, what you were saying is so important because, first of all, you started the week with the assumption that you're not a joyful person. And then what you noticed is that, for example, an airplane passes over and you can feel the joy because you're doing the assignment to notice joy. And you watch the conditioning come in right after that to negate it. And what dropped in for me is what we've been saying all week, which is joy is what you are. That's why negation of that is ego. You're not joyful. It's ego that's not joyful, right? And to really be clear about that is so important, that the negation is of the intelligence that animates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. So what I'm noticing now, and I'm in that place of like, I don't know. So what I'm noticing now is somehow joy, or I become aware of joy, it's only revealed in relationship to other things. And so after that plane, I began to see that, you know, there was flowers on the side of the road and there was beautiful trees, or, you know, my wife comes in the house and she has a beautiful smile on her face. those weren't judgments. It wasn't like conditioning saying, oh, because she has a smile on her face, you are, now you can have joy. It was just joyful to see these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I don't know. I'm in a place of, I don't know. I just noticed that joy is in relationship to what is all around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, that seems like a good place to be, the I don't know, and simply notice the joy rather than sort of move to that place of, okay, because I experience or notice joy in when I see a smile or see beautiful flowers or hear an airplane, that it necessarily means that it is in relationship to things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to stay with that noticing joy rather than, again, as you say, it doesn't feel conditional in that there is, I'm joyful because my wife is smiling, or I'm joyful because I'm seeing the flowers on the side of the road. But there is a certain awareness of where the joy is available. And in that place of don't know, we get to have the experience without attempting to figure it out in any way, which is not necessary to have the experience.
Yeah. Yes. What I hear, and I don't know if I can repeat back what you said, but I heard it.
Which is precisely the process. Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
That was rather joyful.
It certainly was. It certainly was. And here's our next caller, Sherry. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Well, we seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulty all around. Here we go, next caller.
I'm living in it. I'm just going in and out constantly. So,
okay. Here we go, next caller. Sorry, Jerry. I think that several people are in the queue, but not in a queue that I can unmute them. So, here we go, next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, that worked. Hey, this is Laura. San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, so, well, that was joyful, right? The whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm noticing is this experience of joy takes on joy. There's so many synonyms for joy. And it's not, ego wants to make joy about this typical uplifted, bubbly, enthusiastic experience, which it can be. It's also been this experience of just like, oh, I'm here. Like when I turn attention, when I'm in those moments when I'm remembering to turn attention and look for joy, it's like taking a full, being able to feel the fullness of a full breath.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. There's a softness about it. Right, contentment, yeah, all of those softer kinds of words other than the ebullient or ecstatic.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, yeah, and ego wants to judge and get into a conversation about, well, you're not really joyful, you're this, and it's just, like, it's almost, like, humorous sometimes around, like, the conversation is what's not joyful.
Yes.
Is not right. That's it.
Yeah. And you know, Laura, I would encourage you to go with the humorous. Because if we can see ego's desperation, and we can avoid feeling sorry for it, which is, it'd be fine if we did that. People say, well, but shouldn't we unconditionally love self-hate? Okay, but don't get in a relationship. Love it from afar, right? And so in the same way, if we just see ego for what it is, if there's a lightness to that, then it has much less chance of hooking us.
Yeah, I almost experienced the laughter as I don't mean it in the duality sense of my side, ego side, but more that like support, that buoy of like, no, honey, we're not going there. Or that's a little, you know, that it's kind of, it assists in the disidentification.
Yes, exactly. It's with your kids, say, that there's a state of being identified with the ego and they do something and you just want to yell it. And then, I'm talking from my experience, probably not yours. And then there's a disidentified from ego. They do the same thing, and it's just a no. I don't think so. Right? That
yes.
Difference in not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very
grateful.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Ashwini, are you gone now?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, all right. There was just this slight delay. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Ashwini. I continue to do the practice of not knowing what I will say before I say it. It's been fun to just be on the call today because right before the call, I had a work call that there were, you know, these strongly worded negative reviews from the voices about how I handled the situation and the situation itself. And what I saw then and what I've seen other times this week too is that it's possible the ability to notice joy has nothing to do with, like, in quotes, bad circumstances or feelings.
Yay. Yes, absolutely. It has absolutely nothing to do. It's not conditional. Our ability to notice the joy that is always there is not dependent on circumstances. At so many levels, right, Sandy? Say more.
Yeah. I mean, I've experienced it with even... So I have an older cat who has had some symptoms of not being well, and so even in sadness with that, when I did this practice, it's like, like joy and sadness aren't opposites. Joy and frustration or even self-hate, it's like, somebody was saying something, and I can't remember what, but in some practice context, like, it just dropped in for me that it's like, if I listen to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, I believe that, like, I'm a problem and life is a problem and things are basically bad, but maybe with enough practice, I might feel a tiny bit better. But, like, it's, like, if I'm accepting that as the premise, I've already listened and bought into a lie because, like, actually, like, like, if I interviewed the bamboo outside my window right now, the bamboo is like, no, it's fine. Like, everything's fine.
Yes. So may I reflect that, Sandy, because it's such an important realization. I project what you're pointing to is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. We say this in every way possible, is the world in which bad and good exist. And so if, as you said, I believe what I'm believing what is in the conditioned world, right? That I'm bad, life is bad, circumstances are bad, and if I have a glimpse of gladness once in a while, then that's the benefit of being a good practitioner. That the realization is I've already bought into the conditioned story. I'm within conditioned mind, believing the conditioned reality, accepting the conditioned premise. And that itself is a lie. Because your actual experience this week has been there's the ability to be outside of the dualistic world of opposites and experience frustration, joy, sadness, whatever it is, sorry, frustration and sadness or whatever conditioning would connote as bad and still experience joy. So it's the context of joy, which is the reality within which all experiences are just a continuum of experience. Rather than how it would be posited by conditioned mind that the world is a bad place, you're a bad place, and glimpses of happiness in opposition to sadness and frustration are once in a while available. Every one of those claims is denied by your experience. The joy is the constant, and everything else comes and goes.
Yes. Yes. And I relate to what other people have shared about attending to the breath leading to sort of like a conditioning like takeover of the breathing and speeding it up and feeling anxious or something. But I'm grateful that I stuck with this practice even with those experiences of discomfort around attending to breathing because there's been so much to see in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that too is really the principle of practice. Because we know that when we're closing in on the truth, there's an escalation of the conditioned process. And so the point is, it's always attempting to get us to quit, and the escalation is the highest at the point of discovery. And so one of the principles that we know in practice is you stay with it. Stay with it, especially when it feels like you can't stand it. And then you are given what you're seeking, and that's a principle that we could practice all the time.
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't know if now is the time, but I would love to hear more about the escalation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we say it so often, right, Sandy? But basically, it's going farther and fairer and worse. Because the condition process, the resistance goes up the closer you get to the truth, simply because ego's survival is at stake.
Mm. Yeah, that might be one where it's always been being said, but it will be a discovery. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It feels new to me, but yeah. I'll look forward to that.
Yes, and you've experienced it. I turn my attention to the breath. I'm going to do this exercise, and, you know, it's like, okay, the anxiety builds. I'm going to put myself in the queue, and you watch the sensations, how you get talked out of it. Whether it's that simple or you're attempting to go on retreat or whatever else, right? Anything that is going to take care of you is opposed vociferously.
Yes, and it's, it takes some discernment or practice to even see that.
Precisely. Yes, you stick with it and you see the pattern. That's really what sticking with practice assists us with, is that we all see all of the patterns of conditioning emerge. And once we see the entirety of the pattern, we're not as hooked in the immediacy of what it's doing in the moment. Because I know what that is. Oh, darkness, soul, I know what the phases are. Escalation of ego just about when I'm trying to get me to quit. You know, we get familiar with its shenanigans, and that's what awareness is, right? The awareness of that frees me because I can see what it is, and I can choose not to be hooked by it because I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't know what words to say. Practice is very, very helpful. I'm just really grateful.
Well, that's. I think we can sign off on that one, Sandy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sherry? Uh-oh. Sherry, are you back?
No, call failed again, but I'm back.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on. Go ahead, Sherry.
I said for a minute.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Liesl calling in from New Hampshire.
Hey, Liesl. What are you seeing?
Hi, I'm seeing that I had to work really hard to get the call made today and get in the queue, and I'm really glad that I did that.
Uh-huh. And now yours was not a technological difficulty.
No. Okay. Ego conditioning resistance. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Right.
That's just what Sandy and Ashwini were talking about, right?
I mean, right.
The more you're practicing and want to stay in the conversation of practice, the more resistance there is and the harder we have to bring our willingness to bear in order to get past that resistance. And how wonderful when we do.
Right. And I think the main thing that I've been seeing this week is the difference between, working harder to make something happen in practice versus the working harder of just practicing turning the attention and showing up for practice.
Yeah.
And how the first one, last week I was counting the breath, feeling so much joy, and then this week all of a sudden I'm supposed to notice joy, and now joy is nowhere to be found.
The pressure. Yeah.
Right. I'm not getting quite to the bottom of the breath. Is the breath long enough? What's going on here? And then a lot of self-hate around, you guide yoga, you guide this all the time, going to the bottom of the breath and being there, waiting for the joy of the fresh breath to arise. And it is, it's so beautiful, yet it's like I was working, I think I was working too hard to have a particular experience rather than just allowing it to happen or being present enough for it to happen.
Right. What you're describing really clearly is the movement from being in life, present, to ego doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then it takes over. Suddenly we've got tense muscles and I don't know how this is supposed to happen. What do I do? And so I'm trying to breathe from conditioned mind, and now I'm told that I'm not doing it right and that I'm a failure and that, God, don't call in to the program because, yeah.
Yeah.
And so then what we get to is, well, just breathe, trust the body, right? Just be with the breath, relax.
That's
relax
right.
Relax those muscles, and here we are.
Yes, and even just the practice of listening, being on the call, right? Listening, wanting to be fully present for when I might be asked to participate, and how that brought me to a place of joy very easily.
Yes, which is another really important point, because when you're here and there's that, I want to be present because I might be asked to participate, and I want to be able to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a loving kindness in that isn't, that we're not really aware of, but that the motivation is from the heart. And so that's where attention is.
Mm.
And attention, there's no attention left over for that bogus conversation about whether or not you're breathing right. So then
right.
You just relax. You're here, you're breathing just fine, and there's joy.
Yeah, what a beautiful, I think it's such a beautiful reminder that it's always right there.
Yes, it's always right here. We go away,
We follow the
right.
show down the primrose path and then get all caught up in that nonsense. But joy is always right here. We get to almost see it as the container in which everything happens. And as people have indicated, and we know, there are lots of synonyms for joy.
Sure.
Just about every word that in the dualistic world we would call a positive is a synonym for joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we leave that dualistic world, then all we have is that container, and here we are, home again.
Hmm. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know.
Literally. Thank goodness.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, well, I'm really glad that I got to be on the call today, and thank you. Go
me
happy.
Too.
Go
all
happy.
Right. Go happy.
Thanks, Lizzo. And Jerry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller,
right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. And Sherry, it's Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. Wow. What another amazing show. What I got to see this morning, I've just been watching how what you said earlier about at the escalation of conditioning, that has definitely been happening with this particular exercise for me. And then what I saw this morning as I was meditating, the takeover with an insight about all of this going on, the insight comes in, and immediately it was grabbed by conditioned thinking to think about that. And I watched that and then saw that the taking in of the breath, that came in with it, that all I need to do is exhale, and that conversation is not possible then. It was like seeing the breath as this huge, the huge container, I guess, isn't like what was mentioned earlier, but that the breath was the container of it all. The freedom. I don't know another way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it is possible to let, I mean, the exhale, metaphorically, is the letting go of the conversation. That it is possible to redirect the attention, even if the insight had been taken over by conditioned thinking. Because I project what you will watch, what was watching with awareness. Right, Dan? So there was never a moment that you weren't aware of the breath, aware of the insight, aware of the conditioned thinking, aware of the redirect of attention, aware of the insight that is possible. The whole thing happened that way.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
and I
experiences I, it's all the container, because that's exactly what that would be a way to articulate the experience. Everything was within whatever, right? Whatever we want to call it.
Yeah. Thank you for reflecting it that way. Yeah, that expands it even more. it's the expansion of the noticing that was mentioned the other day. Anyway, it's just, it's been sort of, I want to say magical, but there's the reality of it, the reality of that magic, I guess is the way to say
well,
it.
And that's, yes, well, and I don't know if this is your experience, but it seems to be something that everybody is echoing, right? The world as we think it to be within conditioned mind is not reality. And therefore magic, which is supposed to be something fanciful, is actually real. And something that enjoys joy, which I have glimpses of in the conditioned world, is actually a context, constant and container.
Yes. And I'm so glad we're looking at it all together, because it doesn't seem like it would be possible to see it all without everyone's contribution. It just, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Take care. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show.
Yes, and I'll echo Jan. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ashwini.
awesome. Marvelous. It's a marvelous gift.
Sherry?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'm hearing you. So I think you said marvelous and you got cut off. So.
Oh, well, yes. Well, I was saying that I'm echoing Jan because doing this all together feels like just a marvelous gift that we're all getting to receive. So, and technology, I'm going to put right in there with the rest of the marvelous gifts.
Yes, it certainly teaches us patience.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Sherry.
Go happy. And we receive our next assignment at noon today. So we'll look at that next week.
Exciting. Okay. Bye.
Bye.